Made right here in the heart of the sportsman's paradise, Bloodline Custom Calls are CNC'd aluminum pod calls that produce a sharp, one-of-a-kind replication of a turkey communicating in the woods. Most of their call supplies are resourced locally, and all are from the USA, with the pots being machined from a small business. Now, to go along with their custom pod calls, they have introduced multiple mouth calls to their current call line. Each call is built with a different cut to be unique in its own right and to be able to fit multiple people's call taste for luring in those big old gobblers. Check them out at Bloodline Custom Calls on Facebook or Instagram, or visit them at bloodlinecustomcalls.com. Tonight we're going to do a little bass fishing with Craig and Taylor Cobb, who were the 2022 Anglers of the Year for the Arkla Team Tournament Trail. We're going to cover their background and their experience on the Arkla Team Trail last year. Now look, I broke podcast interviewer rule number one, and I mispronounced their last name right off the jump. So y'all don't beat me up too bad about that, okay? I hope you guys enjoy the interview. So tonight on the Antlers and Hicks podcast, we're going to talk bass tournament fishing. We've got some of the crappie stuff taken care of. Now we're shifting gears, going into bass fishing, and we got two of the best guys in our area here getting ready to talk tonight, the Kolb guys, Craig and Taylor Kolb. How you guys doing tonight?
Good. Doing great, man.
Good, good. Now, look, man, this Arkla team, we're going to get to this in a moment, but, man, I'm really kind of pumped about after the information. I sat down and talked with Mr. Dale a little bit. I talked with Todd Wolf, and man, this really sounds like a good thing.
Man, it's great. We had a ball last year. I mean, we had a great year, which obviously helps. But, you know, I've been fishing tournaments here for many, many, many years. And it's such a well-done, well-run, very professional type setting, and something that it's bigger than most of what we've ever had around here. And, I'm sure Taylor can add to it. But, man, I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking so forward to starting a few days on this season.
Yeah. So Taylor, I'll get with you in a moment on your take on it. Right now, real quick, I want to go ahead and knock out the formality so that people know who we're talking to. Craig, tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, first of all, I will correct one thing. We pronounce our last name Cobb.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
No. Listen, it looks like Kolb. I don't blame you. We answer to it. We're so used to it by now, it's not a big deal, but since I'm introducing myself, I will say that I was born and raised right here in West Monroe. I've been here all my life. I went to Texas for college a couple of years, played baseball, but really other than that, I've been right here. And I was born and raised fishing and hunting right here in our part of the world, and it's what I do. And brought Taylor up the same way. And, you know, now we do a lot of that, a lot of those things together, duck hunting and fishing. And it's just kind of, you know, just sort of what we identify with.
Yeah. I noticed I kind of did a little Facebook stalking, a little Google stalking. You guys really like to duck hunt, don't you?
That's more than we like to eat. And that's saying a lot. You know, that's probably my favorite thing to do in the world is hunt ducks. I mean, it's only 60 days, so, you know, you miss it and when it's not here, and then you feel like it's a mad dash while it is. And I love to fish. I mean, listen, I love the crappie fish. I love the bass fish. I love any kind of fishing. I really, really, really like to duck hunt, and I chase them hard. And Taylor kind of fell right in there with me, and you know, we put a lot into it, and, you know, it's some of the best times we've ever had are right around here hunting ducks.
And I got to be honest with you, it looks like you guys are about as successful duck hunting as you are bass fishing.
Well, kind of like bass fishing at times, you know.
Yeah.
Some days are really good, some days not so good. But we put enough into it that, you know, great thing about duck hunting is if you're willing to, you know, go the extra mile, you can generally do fairly well. And we take it seriously enough and we had a really good year this year. You know, some years are not quite so good, some years better, and this was a pretty good one. So we enjoyed it, and then as soon as it's over, you're ready to knock the dust off the rods and reels and go fishing.
Yeah. Now, look, I ask you real quick, I want to ask you one thing. So through my Google searching, I found you're a pretty notable tournament fisherman. So tell me, how did you get into some of this tournament fishing around here?
That goes way back now. I I fished my dad fished tournaments for starters. My dad is really what, you know, he's the reason for Taylor and me. Anything I've done in fishing, and I think Taylor tell you the same thing, was because of my daddy, who is still the, you know, he's the finest angler I've ever known. It's just as simple as that. Charlie Cobb was his name, and he had a lot of success fishing tournaments around here. And I was a member of First Baptist Church of West Monroe, and they had a father-son tournament when I was 7. And we fished it, and I think we actually finished 3rd, and that was my first tournament, and I haven't looked back. I love to compete. To me, so it goes back to when I was 7, but it's one of the most unique things in the world, you know, where the actual tournament competitors are not necessarily your competition, right? Your competition's in the water, and your competition doesn't play by rules. And it's so unique to me, and I've been in love with it since I did it, and hopefully can do it for a lot longer. As you know, long as I feel like it, I'm going to continue to do it.
You know, I like what you just said, because you're not really competing. Your biggest competition is in the water. And I think sometimes, you know, listening to people that are in these tournaments, they're worried about who's fishing the tournament rather than, you know, what they're actually going for, what they're actually their target is. So that's interesting that you said that. Ronald McDonald. I know that's a big name around here. You're a winner, aren't you?
I did. I won it. Actually, I won it the last time I fished it, which was 2019. Because of circumstances, I haven't gotten to fish the last 3 years. Of course, the next year was the COVID year and they didn't have it. And then the next year, my wife had a procedure. And so I was with her, stayed with her for that. And then last year I had a wedding to attend in South Louisiana. So listen, I plan to fish it this year, and I'm going to go back and try to defend it, defend the crown, so to speak, after 3 years of not getting to fish. I'm looking forward to it. But
Go ahead.
I did win that 19, and it was a really neat deal. Those folks do a phenomenal job with that tournament, and it's for a great cause. And it's a lot of fun to fish. I look forward to it every time I get to fish it.
Yeah. So how I got your number was, I was watching the Super Bowl with my buddy Joe Booth, and he was like, "Hey, I got a guy you need to talk to." And I'd already had you on my radar, and I was like, "Man, I've already got him. Thank you for giving me his number." And you know, when I looked up and I saw that you had won the Ronald McDonald, I was like, "Whoa, this guy knows what he's doing."
I should, man. Listen, I'm old and I've been doing it a long time, but it's funny. The great thing about fishing is some days I feel like I never, you know, made a cast in my life. That's which is what keeps you hungry to go back again. Look, I have, you know, some of the bad days are as bad as it gets. So you keep trying to hone your craft, so to speak, and it's always changing. And I have had some success in tournaments around here, but I've also had my doors blown off. So it kind of keeps you hungry for the next one.
So let me ask you real quick, your whole tournament life, doing all of it, what are some, well, give me a couple shining spots during all of it.
Ooh, well, I've won Angle of the Year stuff before. Anyone that knows me knows I had a partner for, over 25 years. Well, I fished tournaments with my dad, and we won Angle of the Year in a circuit that they had here. And then I fished tournaments with a longtime partner, Mickey Fontana. And we fished for over 25 years together. And he just, up until last year, as a matter of fact, when Taylor started fishing with me. And, you know, I won Ronald McDonald. I've won Angler of the Year titles. I've you know, won a lot of tournaments here and there. But by far, the greatest accomplishment for me was last year, winning Anglers of the Year in Arkla for a lot of different reasons. First of all, Arkla is probably one of the biggest circuits we've had here, you know, monetarily and in you know, terms of numbers too, especially, you know, in a long, long time, especially. But so to win it in its, you know, inaugural year, to win it against the guys we won it against, because I'm convinced that, and I said this at the championship, Dale handed me the microphone when they honored us, and I said there, listen, I may be wrong, but I feel like some of the best fishermen in the world are right here. I really do. And a lot of guys who, if they didn't have families and jobs and wives and things, they could be professional fishermen. They just didn't choose that life. So to have any success in this part of the world, you've done something. And to win Angler of the Year, you've really done something. And to do it with your son. And in the first year that we fished together was this past year. So to win Anglers of the Year in that circuit with my son, listen, I mean, it, to, for me and in our part of the world, it just doesn't get any better than that.
I know that's right. I know that.
So, you know, now I'm not crazy. You know, it would be very, very difficult to defend. We're going to go out and take a great cut at it. But like I said, the fishermen around here are phenomenal. They're really unbelievable. I'm amazed at what they can do at times. I'm on the same body of water with them, and they do things and accomplish them. I'm like, how in the world did you do that? How did you figure that out? So, like I say, anytime you do well around here, it's quite an accomplishment, because I have the utmost respect for these guys. They're something else now.
That's good to hear, man. Now, Taylor. Now, I did a little Google stalking on you too, and there's something I'm telling you, man. You know, you were a part of the ULM fishing team, right?
Yes, sir.
And that name carries a lot of weight in the collegiate ranks, man. You know, I know it does. And I'm very impressed to read that. So tell me about you. Obviously, you grew up in the area, right?
Yes, sir.
West Monroe High School.
Yeah, West Monroe High School. I've been here a lot like my dad, except I didn't go to Texas to play baseball. I stayed right here. So.
Now, you fished. Did West Monroe have a team at the time when you were in school?
They did. My senior year, we started a team, and I didn't really do much as far as through administration or whatnot, but I was, you know, the president of the team. It was our first year, my senior year, and we fished a little club. It wasn't as big then as it is now. I mean, there wasn't 100 boats and people going all over, but it was a pretty good size for us then, and we had that my senior year. It was a good deal.
Going into your college career, how did you get hooked up with the fishing team over at ULM?
Well, see, that had started when I was younger, and I watched them on TV. They had a lot of tournaments here at the Washita River. They had, you know, tournaments in ULM. There was always names around the top in all of those. And that I kind of going into school, that's what I was wanting to do. That I knew I wanted to fish for ULM. And if it wasn't for ULM fishing, you know, probably wouldn't have been so excited to get to college as I was. But because that was my goal the whole time, was to fish for ULM going in.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you something real quick. And this just popped into my head.
Yes, sir.
I want, if you could look at a group of young people that are in high school and their goal is to fish in college, give them some tips, something that they need to do in order to be successful at that.
It's kind of a give and take thing. So really don't be scared to get out of your comfort zone. My best finish in college was fourth place on Table Rock. And, we caught those fish over 100 foot of water throwing an A rig. I mean, I've never done anything like that. Probably unless I get away from here, I never will do anything like that. So don't be scared to get out of your comfort zone when it comes to fishing different lakes, but also don't forget where you came from. There's a lot of tournaments where I got caught in the dock talk, and I was trying to do the things that are notorious for winning in that area. And the tournament was won right under my nose doing something that I love to do simply because I didn't keep it honest. I didn't go shallow when I should have and fish visible cover when I should have. And it was something that I really would have been good at, really would have excelled at. Instead, I got caught doing the things that the lake is known for instead of doing the things that I'm known for, if that makes any sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Be who you are as an angler instead of what the lake is.
And the reason I ask is, you know, I see a lot more high school, little schools having fishing teams now. And I
mean, it has blown up.
It has. And I want to see these young people do so well, but you know, sometimes I'm like, man, you know, that I feel like they're probably kind of in uncharted waters because they don't know exactly what to do on the next level, maybe. And
They definitely are. A lot of the lakes around here set up the same way. And you go different places and it's nothing like what we have here. Now, if the people were to come here, they'd get their feelings hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest with you. It would be, you know, a coming out party for the kids around here. But you go, you realize how minute the lakes around here are compared to everything else that you fish in other places.
Okay. Now, Craig, let me ask you something real quick. I want to ask you, shift gears toward the Arkla team trail. How did you guys find out about this? I mean, obviously you're in the know. So did you hear about it through word of mouth, or did somebody, you know, actually search you out and say, hey man, you need to get in on this?
Well, I was, I was friends with, Todd Wolf and Todd Reisinger, some of those guys, E.K. Kosarog, Thomas McMillan, Dale Taylor, some of those guys who are putting this thing together. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. Dusty Mobley. I don't want to leave any names out because they all deserve to be mentioned. They were sharing it on Facebook. And I read it, and we were a little bit in limbo going into last year because I didn't know if my longtime tournament partner, Mickey, was going to be able to fish or not. And we were trying to just, he said, listen, if I can fish, I'm not going to fish both. So I called Taylor to see if he wanted to fish one or the other. And I'll share a little more about that later. But it was fairly pricey for Taylor, I thought, but he made it work. And we jumped in there. It was getting down to the deadline and we had not really discussed it. And I'll tell you the funny thing about that, they fished two places that we literally didn't know squat about. And so you had to make that kind of investment on yourself going into two different bodies of water that we just didn't know. Just had not fished much. And one of them, not at all. It was a tough decision, but listen, we decided to do it. I'm glad we did. And we're here for the long haul because they're putting together one phenomenal circuit. They really are. They are working so hard and so diligently to give us something here that we really haven't had, in terms of the type of money you're fishing for, the way it's spread out and the format and the things of that nature. So they're doing a great job. I'm glad we decided to do it, obviously. But it was mainly on social media. And then there was a pretty good buzz among the fishing community. Hey, you're going to fish it? Hey, you're going to fish it? And I was hearing more guys than not saying, yeah, you bet. And so it's sort of momentum from there. And we decided to do it. And, you know, like I said, really glad we did.
Outstanding, man. That's like I said, I'd never seen it. I had seen it shared a little last year on social media. But now that I'm paying attention, you know, I see a lot of people talking about it, and I think that's a great way to get the word out. You know, who doesn't have social media right now, right?
Right.
Now, Taylor, let me ask you. Tell me about the first few tournaments you guys did last year. Like your dad said, you know, there were two bodies of water that y'all didn't know much about. So give me an idea about those.
Well, as he mentioned earlier, we're big duck hunters. Love to duck hunt, and that, if I'm not mistaken, Arkla, was that the last weekend, or was it,
or like the weekend after duck
season? Or like the weekend after duck season, we both work and we could not get away to practice. Or, let me take that back. We were not going to get away to practice. We were going to duck hunt as long as we could. So anyway, we went to Chico and we had never laid eyes on it. I think I had looked at Google Earth, you know, but what, you're not only going to know so much from Google Earth on an oxbow like Chico. So we literally put the boat in and flipped a coin, you know, okay, we're going to go right out of the launch. We're going to go left. And, you know, we decided we were going to go right. So we went right and we were 9 o'clock catching our first fish. We had a couple highlights last year of, you know, things we got really excited about during the tournament year. But I think the first fish that we caught at Chico was the most exciting thing. And he was just a 2.5-pounder simply because we didn't zero. We had never looked at the lake before. Never, it didn't know anything about it. We caught one little measly 2.5-pound fish and hugged to the carpet because we didn't zero. It was so cold that morning. We knew it would be tough. We didn't know there was a fish in that lake, but we caught one and we were excited about that. And
look, I'll add this. He didn't say that. I think it was either 14 or 17 degrees that morning we put the boat in the water.
My goodness.
It was in the teens, and matter of fact, some of the shallows had ice over the top of them. And we literally made our first cast in that lake in that tournament, both of us.
Mm.
So that kind of tells you what we were up against going in. But like he said, we did finally catch one, and we wound up, I think we wound up fifth in that tournament, mm-hmm. won $1,000. So we were off and running in a body of water. And we had just never fished.
And to add on to that, I had never been paid $1,000 for fifth place.
Yeah, that's another thing about this tournament. It pays really nice.
It does. You can be fortunate enough to win one of them. You pay for all your fishing for the year for the most part.
Mm. Now, going into Lake Darbonne next, that was the next stop last year. Tell me, y'all familiar with Darbonne?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know about it, Darbonne, it probably doesn't exist.
I asked that kind of tongue in cheek because, you know, I knew where you finished, but, you know.
we say we're familiar with Darbonne, and Darbonne seemed to throw a screwball at you every time you go fishing.
So tell me do you remember how that tournament went?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know if you want me to tell you or him to tell you, but that was an amazing day. It truly was. We started slow, to be honest. And we made a move fairly early, and I think we had four fish and the smallest being a 12 incher and the biggest being maybe 3 pounds. And he made the statement, I'll never forget it. He said, I'm just really not feeling this right here. And I told him, I said, just be patient. We need some wind and we're going to get it. Just be patient. And honest truth, a little breeze picked up. Taylor swings on one and says, get the net. And I jumped down and got the net, and it was about a 5.5 pounder. And he put it in the boat. I went and got back on the front while he's taking the fish off to put in the live well. That was our limit fish. And I swing on one. Fish hits me immediately, and I swing on it, and I catch it, and it was close to 8.
Mm.
790 something, 780 something. I don't know, but right at 8 pounds. And that culled a 12-inch fish. And from that moment, for the next probably 2 hours, is about as hard as you can catch 3 to 4 pound fish. I mean, it was just, we were just really whacking at them until the wind got so strong it turned the area up and it shut it down. But the damage was done by then. And we won the tournament with, I think it was 22 something, and then had won close to 8 pounds, which was big fish. But it all happened. It was that one little key ingredient that we were missing, and when we got it, you know, I really knew the fish were around there somewhere. They were just not charged up, and when we got the little breeze, that changed everything about it.
In 2023, time is a valuable thing, and nobody knows this better than the guys at Ludwig Marine. Mitch Ludwig came from working 10 years as a millwright on a swing shift schedule to being a small business owner, and he fully understands how precious time can be for today's fishermen. Dealing in Ranger, Triton, War Eagle, Mercury, Yamaha, Tahatsu, Honda, Gator Tail, Copperhead, and now Reaper Boats. For all your boating needs, call Ludwig Marine at 318-545-5595 or go see them at either of their two locations, 110 Old Highway 15 in Farmerville or on U.S. Highway 165 South in Monroe. That win right there really set you guys toward the top of the Angler of the Year last year, didn't it?
Well, we went from fifth to first.
Yeah.
In that tournament. So, yes, and that moved us into first for Anglers of the Year, and then it was a matter of could we hold on. We had a tough Washita River tournament coming, and we had a Felsenthal tournament, which neither one of us knew squat about for the most part, but it did put us in first. Yeah, that was the springboard that got us there, and it was a matter of staying there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Angler of the Year last year. I mean, it was the first, like, you can even say the top four. It was close the entire season, all the way down to Felton.
Hey, I want to tell you something funny about that. It was close. I think it was 4 points or something like that going into the Washita River.
I don't remember it was.
But here's the funny thing. The team that was in second was Jacob Andrews and Connor Nimrod. Ordinarily, I'm old. I wouldn't remember that, except for at the time, Taylor who was in first with me, and Jacob, who was in second, were roommates. They were living together. So let me tell you, if you don't know, there was some trash talking going on, and I mean some chiding and ribbing. And Jacob is he's an exceptional young man. He's an exceptional fisherman. Connor, who is his partner, is an exceptional young man, exceptional fisherman. But we really, there were some barbs thrown back and forth, man. I got to tell you, because here they are living together, and we're 1-2 in the circuit here for the last, two tournaments. That was some fun, now, I have to tell you.
I bet it was. I mean, so just so that everybody knows, it goes a month between tournaments. So for right. 1 month, I mean, it was, how was it, Taylor? I mean, did it ever get to a point where you're like, hey, man, I got to walk off?
No, we didn't take any weeks off.
No, I'm talking about,
it's all lighthearted, but every joke comes with a little truth. And we were throwing them as fast as we could think of them.
Oh, my. I would have spent my days thinking, okay, what's going to happen tonight when I get home? What's going to happen? How am I going to have to handle this?
Well, with him, if you know how to take him, it can be pretty fun. Jacob, he's a ball of wax. I mean, that's all a barrel of monkeys is all he is. You know how to take him, but we didn't ever slack up on Jacob at all. We were giving it to him, and he was giving it to us, and it's just, we just knew that was how it was going to be for the time being.
Well, that's good. You guys, Washita River, you finished a little bit in front of them. And then going down to the Felsenthal, to the last one of the year, how confident were you going in? Of course, you've never set foot on it. Did you think you could hold on?
No. Well, so here's the thing. Yeah, I had actually fished Felsenthal a couple of times, but years and years ago. And Taylor had never made a cast there. And we actually went and pre-fished in separate boats. And this is where I'll give him a ton of credit. It was tough on me because I'm a little older than he is or a lot. And I don't handle the heat as well as he does. And let me tell you, every day for practice and all the week leading up to the tournament itself was just excruciatingly hot. Highs in the low hundreds and winds light and variable. That was the forecast. Mm. That was the forecast for practice. That was the forecast for the tournament. And the difficulty was the river was about 3 feet or 4 feet high and rolling. I mean, that was some of the fastest current I've seen up that way. So you knew you were going to lose 2 or 3 feet of water between the time that we're practicing to the time we fish. So we go up and practice the weekend before, right? And I'm going to give you a comparison here. We go up and practice the Saturday before. We're not in a tournament. We're just practicing. Well, media bass has an ARCLA division. Okay. It's different, totally different circuit, but they're fishing Felsenthal that day. I can't remember how many teams they had, 20 something teams, something of that nature. There was not one limit caught, not one. That's how tough the body of water was fishing. Now, it turns out that was a blessing and a curse because Taylor, to his credit, we were in separate boats. Taylor settled in a little area and knocked out 2 or 3 bites. It's what we had. It's all we had. So were we confident? Not necessarily, but we knew where we were going. We knew what we were doing. We knew what we had to do. And there was no reason, we weren't playing mind games. Should we stay here? Should we go? This is all we got. And so we milked it for all it was worth. And hey, listen, it was enough to get us across the finish line and actually won some money. Actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, finished eighth or ninth or something and won a little money. So between Chico, which we had literally neither one of us had ever fished, Felsenthal that I had fished 2 or 3 times maybe and Taylor never, we won money in both of them. That's the difference. That was what, that's what you have to do to be able to, compete with fishermen that are that good.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, man, and I'm looking, and I want to ask you this. When you guys rolled up, you knew what you'd caught at Felsenthal. Did you think it was enough?
I knew it was a 50-50. It was a definite maybe is about all I knew. We started feeling okay when we started seeing the weights. And really, Jacob and Connor, which we mentioned, I think they were 7 points behind us by then, if memory serves me correctly. So the way the points work, your weight doesn't matter how much weight. It's all by place. So they would have had to finish seven places ahead of us to have caught us in the Angler of the Year run. Now, they're 60 teams, okay? So that's not even remotely out of the question.
If you bomb, it's a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah. If you don't catch them, you're done for.
Right.
So we knew they had to catch them to beat us. We knew that. I think we had 11.5 pounds, which is tough as it was fishing up there. And see, another thing that I didn't mention from the practice time to the tournament time, the way ARCLA does it, if it's off limits Sunday from Sunday evening until the tournament. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you can't be on that body of water. So we go in with the water 2 feet lower. So we knew we had caught them fairly well. We didn't know how good a day it was overall, necessarily. How well anybody had caught them, we knew what we did.
We didn't lose any fish that whole day. I felt like we had fished to the best of our ability, and if they were going to beat us, they had to beat us. I mean, we weren't going to give it to you at the end of that day.
That's right. That's about how we felt.
I like
they were going to have they had to catch them, and if they did, hey, you just tip your hat, say congratulations.
That's right. I like it. I like it. So that's last year. We come into this year. We've added two more bodies of water to the schedule this year. Lake Claiborne starts us off February 25th. It wasn't on the schedule last year. You guys good with Claiborne?
Under normal circumstances, I would be, but I love Claiborne. That's considered I consider Claiborne my home lake. I was raised with a camp up there, and we fished with my dad for a lot of years. Claiborne's fishing a lot different than it has traditionally for a lot of reasons. Are we confident? I wouldn't say we're confident, but what I would say is that, listen, I feel as good if I'm not going to just know I'm going to go in and whack them somewhere, I feel as good about going to Claiborne with questions than somewhere else. Simply because I know so much about the lake, but how does that translate? We're going to find out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. Lake Chico comes up next. Now, Chico in March is not going to be the same Chico that you saw last year.
No. I think Chico will probably be the heaviest weights that we're going to have this year if I was to bet on it, unless we get a major cold front. Even still, I mean, there was a 25-pound bag caught last year when it was, you know, 17 degrees at blast off. I don't feel like we're going to have trouble, you know, figuring out how to catch fish in that one. It's just putting yourself around the right ones.
I understand.
Is the big key there.
Yeah, I can understand that. April 29th brings us to Cross Lake. Now, this is a lake I've seen before, never been on it. Right there, Shreveport. You guys familiar with Cross Lake?
Nope.
I've never looked at it.
Neither one of us have ever fished it.
Okay, so this ought to be interesting. This should be good.
From what I've heard and seen about Cross Lake, it's a lot of cypress trees, a lot of shallow hand-to-hand combat type fishing. Which really isn't a reach for either one of us. We enjoy doing that, but here again, when you've never laid eyes on a place, it can be pretty intimidating.
Mm-hmm. So how about the Washita River? May 27th brings us to the Washita River. Washita River, you guys fished last year. You finished, I believe, 12th on the Washita River last year. Good with that, obviously. I would think you're close right here at the house. I mean, but then again, so is everybody else.
You know, the river is Jekyll and Hyde for me. It all depends on the water level. You know, with last year when we fished it, I think we had 31, maybe 32 feet of river, 30, 31, and that's really a no man's land for me now. Not for other people. They probably love that stage. I like it 28 below, and I like it 32 and above, and this far out, you just have no clue what you're going to have. You know, I don't know. I'm comfortable with it. I know that, but it all depends on river level and is it rising, is it falling, and the kind of weather pattern you get.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
The river is the same body of water, but completely different every year you fish it. You never fish it the same. You know, you never have the same conditions, it seems like. So, you know, it's hero or zero in that tournament for both of us usually.
Yeah. Now, the next stop is June 24th. Now, that's Felsenthal. So, and what I wanted to ask you earlier, is this all above the locks, or do they allow you to go below and above?
No, it's all above the lock. The lock is the southern boundary.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you know, June, it shouldn't be a whole lot of backwater in that area in June. But then again, it depends on how much rain we've got.
Well, right. And see, last year, that was June that we fished up there, that it was like 2.5 feet high and muddy and rolling on tournament day. They had one of those, you know, summer squalls come through there, and it just sat over the top of it and dumped water for several hours. And, you know, it completely changes everything. And, you know, of course, I'll tell you what we overcame with Felsenthal last year. And I mentioned it was like 102 degrees. Don't you think about this throughout the course of Arkla last year? And we don't know how this year's going to go, but throughout the course of Arkla last year, think about that. The first tournament we fished, it was either 14 or 17 degrees.
I think it was 17 degree wind chill.
Right. Okay. So it was 17 degrees at blast off. The last tournament we fished, it got up to 102 degrees. And you're talking about nearly 90 degrees different. So when you talk about conditions going into a year, you never really know what you're going to face. Everything is kind of condition. You know, it kind of depends on whatever conditions you have in terms of what you're able to do.
Yeah, and it doesn't really benefit just one style of fishing. I mean, you've got to be good at all kind of the whole gamut, I guess you could say, to fish when it's cold,
exactly
as
right.
Well, when it's burning up hot. So now the championship.
I have a saying about that. If the technique that you don't know how to do is the one that's going to beat you.
That's a good statement to live by. Now, the championship, Lake Darbonne. We're going to skip the summer months. We're going to come into Lake Darbonne October the 12th through the 14th. Again, you guys got 3 days on Darbonne. That ought to play pretty well, huh? Or you hope?
I'm going to be honest with you. October is not a time of the year where we fish a ton, simply because we're getting, you know, duck blinds ready and things of that sort. You know, we're, you know, lining out decoys and getting the camp ready. That's the biggest, to me, I feel like going into that is the biggest question mark, honestly, because like I said, we don't fish much that time of year.
And those guys that do fish that time of year are hard to beat.
Yeah,
they're really good. They get dialed in about as well as you can be.
Let's not take anything away from them. We fish against some hammers. I mean, they're really good. Every one of them really good.
Yeah, I've seen some names on the roster this year that, you know, I've heard of all my whole life. You know, so this is kind of a who's who of North Louisiana bass fishing, because there's all kind of good names on there. It's anybody.
They're good,
game.
Man. Yeah. They're so good, and I'm like I say, I stand amazed all the time at what I watch them. I'm serious, and I don't look. We won Anglers of the Year, and I'm as proud of that as I can be. I'll you know, because I love to brag on my kids. So you know, my son was in the boat with me, so I'll just brag on him. Hey, we won Anglers of the Year. I think that's fantastic. But the truth of the matter is, do I think I'm the best fisherman in that group? Man, no. There are a lot of them better than I am, way better. And, you know, like I say, it just makes you really grateful when something goes right for you. Every single one of them, right on down the line, you know, I've seen all of them win at some point in time, and any of them are capable. I mean, there's not a team fishing it that's not capable of Angler of the Year in that circuit. I promise you that.
I can believe it. Well, guys, I guess that's all I wanted to talk. Y'all got anything else of note that you think people may be interested in hearing?
I do want to, you had mentioned Arkla, and I want to thank, you know, the guys who were doing that, Todd Wolf, Dusty Mobley. I mentioned him one time, E.K. Kosarog, I think, Thomas McMillan, Todd Reisinger. I mean, Miss Todd one time, and Dale Taylor and his bunch, Miss Gail, and then his grandsons. Listen, they have really done everything they can to give us a quality circuit. And listen, not only them, you know, Greg Tersha does media bass around here. It's fantastic. I know, I think it's Junior Griggs does North Central team. There's something good to fish here. And if ARCLA is a little more than you want to bite off, hey, I get it. There's another circuit you can fish, but listen, yeah, I think it's too late to enter ARCLA this year, but look at it next year. Look at it long and hard. These people, listen, I don't know if you mentioned it, but you take Garbon in October, $15,000 for that tournament. $15,000 right here in our own backyard. Man, you just don't see that. I mean, they have worked with city leaders and local leaders and sponsors to really make this something else. Hey, throw your money in there. I can promise you there are a lot of people here that are good enough that aren't fishing.
And, you know, that's one thing I didn't mention was the purse weight. So tell us real quick, what's first place pay in just the regular ones? I mean, and
like $5,000.
$5,000. If you can,
we walked away from Darbone with close to $6,000 first place in Big Bass.
On a local level, you're not going to get any better than that, especially around here. Like you said, it's a lot to bite off. It's a commitment, but I like the payout the way it is, and having to pay your entries up front because it keeps everybody honest. You know, the circuit doesn't fizzle out. People show up for every one of them because they've already paid their money. You're not going into the last tournament of the year with, you know, 10 boats fishing instead of the 60 that you started out with.
Fishing for 1,000 all of a sudden.
Yeah, simply because, you know, everybody's paid their money. They don't want to waste their money, so they're not going to, you know, they're going to show up. I enjoy that about the circuit. So, like I said, it's a lot to bite off the beginning of this tournament season whenever it's time to pay your entry, but it really is a good thing.
On that note, though, I think they split that up. You have a deposit to hold your spot, and then you can finish it. So they split that up. So it's all on social media, ARCLA teams, and you can follow that. And they do a phenomenal job. They really do. I know a lot of people like to go to Texas and fish those circuits. They're trying to put something around here to keep you from having to go all that way with gas, what it is. And it's been remarkable.
That's right. You guys can catch them, ARCLA Team Trail, on Facebook, social media, or you can look at them, arclateamtrail.com. Really nice website. I mean, it's easy to navigate. Looks great. Looks extremely professional. I'm excited. I'll be at a few weigh-ins, kind of helping with some Facebook Live stuff and talking with some guys to promote the trail. So kind of looking forward to getting to meet you guys, being around a little bit more and learning a little bit more about how these trails run.
We're looking forward to it. Look, we'll take the same finish as last year if it's all the same to everybody else.
That's right. Well, guys, hey, look, man, I appreciate you taking time out tonight. We got this one good. I think it's good. You got a lot of good information, and looking forward to seeing you guys Friday night. Y'all going to be at the thing on Friday night in Farmerville?
Yes, sir, we'll be there.
All right, we're looking forward to seeing you then.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much,
man. Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. I really appreciate Craig and Taylor for coming on and talking about the trail like they did. Now, if you're interested in following the trail this year, you can go to Facebook and follow their page. We're going to be doing Facebook Live interviews at the weigh-ins, and we really hope that you guys tune in to watch. Now, look, guys, I hope you like this podcast, and I want you to share it with your friends. I'm doing all I can to help grow fishing in our area, and I'm trying to give these fishermen a platform to showcase their knowledge and their skills. Also, stop by the Antlers and Hicks Facebook page and check out the gear we've got. And I've got some more hats coming, so you guys just be patient, okay? My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks Podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.